recognizing ungodly soul ties and idols in our lives. All relationships should be built on the foundation or basis of love. Somebody say love. Who is love? God is. According to 1 John 3:13, the person who does not love is spiritually dead. You hear that? If a person doesn't love God, then they're spiritually dead. Can you see the problem? A lot of us that are spiritually alive are trying to love people who are dead, or hook up with people who are dead. I said something there. So it starts with love. In fact, your faith is activated by love. Say love. When God wants to bless you, he'll send somebody into your life. When Satan wants to mess you up, he'll send somebody into your life. Amen. So there are some things that causes us to have repeat patterns in our life. Somebody said repeat. I think it was Billy Preston said, will it go round in circles? Dun-dun, dun-dun. Yes, it will, if you allow it to. Just like to put a little music and beat to it. But it can have repeat patterns because what's entangled us up in our soul. Say soul. Today, I'm going to attempt to equip you with the words so you can get out of the entanglements or to avoid the entanglements. Amen. So let's be real. A lot of times, we don't want to let go of things or people. But you, when you love God, you get to a point, you know, I'm tired of going through the same old, same old. And so in order to go further or go forward, you got to let some things go. So it's not so much as what you're trying to attain in life, it's what you're willing to leave behind. But I want to, but I love him. Or her. Amen. So I came to a point in my life where I had to cut some people loose. I had to release them. And I had to crucify some things in me. You know, God never said that he will humble you. He said, humble yourself. There's something you got to do. So today, here's what we're going to focus on. I want you to follow me closely. Everybody listening? We're going to talk about how wrongful relationships, say wrongful relationships, can create ungodly soul ties. Can you see that so far? That control our soul and sometimes can become demonic, where we need deliverance through Jesus Christ. And those things can become idols in our lives. Everybody tracking so far? So we're dealing with things in our present, from things that are attached to us from our childhood or from our past. Say past. You remember our bishop telling us, don't allow your past to steal from your future? That's what ended up happening. Amen. So how can we disentangle or disengage or detach, say detach, from those things that are still, say still, driving some of the forces that are in our lives? You did hear me say driving. Because sometimes things will drive us to do things or say things. You follow me? So if we either delay or even cancel our destiny by allowing those things. Can you see that? It wrecks people. So we're going to move to Genesis in the beginning. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis. But I want to tell you a story to bring you up to part of what we're about to delve into. Genesis, the book of beginnings. Everybody know what that said. Genesis, first. Chapter 29. So what has happened is, Jacob, what's Jacob known as? Trickster. Trickery. And he stole his brother's, who was his brother? Esau. Stole his brother or his blessing by being deceptive. But Esau played a part in that too. Because he gave it up. For what? A bowl of what? What's your bowl of soup? See, we so readily can identify Esau's, but what's your bowl of soup? What did you give up? Let me play it back for you. Yeah, but I love him. He fine. I'm being real. We got to go where we live at, right? So, oh boy. Some more characters. Who was his mother? Jacob's mother? Rebecca. She overheard something. And so she played into it for Jacob to deceive his brother. If you weren't here Wednesday night, talking about child-parent relationships that Pastor Sam, you missed something. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. So she found out that Esau was planning to kill his brother Jacob. He was plotting to do it, right? So what she wanted him to do, the family did not want him to marry outside of the clan. So she instructed him to go to his brother. Who was his brother? Her brother, Laban, who lived in Haran in the east. And when he went on his journey, you know what he had? An encounter with God. He wrestled with God. And so after all that was over, now you're going to have to go back and read this to get all of it. But after that, he resumed his journey. And he ended up in Haran, and he came to the well, and guess who was there? Rachel. Nice looking. Say fine. It's okay to say fine in the church. What's wrong with y'all? Guys, y'all say it all the time, then you get to church, you're scared to say it. So she was fine. And so, she wasn't just pretty. She wasn't just pretty. She was a hard worker. She brought her daddy's sheep to the well. And when Jacob saw it, he ran and rolled away the rock so the sheep can get water. But guess what? He watered her for her. He loved Rachel. And they exchanged information about where he came from, da 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 da. And then they took him and he met Laban, his uncle, Rebecca's brother. Now, catch this. He was more of a deceiver than Jacob was. You better watch it. You think you got all that? There's somebody got one up on you. And see, the Bible said, whatever you sow, that shall you also. He reaped something. And that he was running for his life because he thought his brother was going to kill him. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so they worked out a deal that he will work for her for how many years? 7 years. But to him, because he loved her so much, it didn't appear like it would be a long time. And then honeymoon night. Hey, hey. It ain't funny to Jacob, because the next morning when he woke up, it wasn't Rachel that was in the bed with him. It was Leah, the oldest one. And the Bible said that she was tender-eyed. Y'all know what tender-eyed is? Cross-eyed. He said, when you did to me? And make a long story short, he got her, and he was willing to work another 7 years for Rachel, the one he loved. Y'all with me so far? All right, let's go to Genesis 29, verse 31. We'll pick up from there. Everybody see the story now? When the Lord saw, say saw. Who saw? The Lord saw that Leah was unloved. Say unloved. Now, all of us in this building desire three things. What are they? You want to be accepted? Huh? You want to be acknowledged, approved, and you want to be loved. Amen? And that's what made me think about what was taught on Wednesday night about parents and their children. They want to be accepted, they want to be approved, and they want to be loved. But if you ain't got time to spend time with them, somebody else will. It's called the gangs. And the gang leader will serve as father figure in their life. Everybody follow me? Or the popo will get involved. And it leaves that child vulnerable. Amen. So when the Lord saw, he opened her womb. But Rachel, the one he really wanted first, was what? Barren. Verse 32. So Leah conceived and bore a son and called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Now therefore my husband will love me. What did God do? He saw that she was unloved. And then he opened her, which was a blessing her to fulfill her. Everybody tracking? So God sees she's unloved, he opened her wombs, and he gives her a blessing. Did you not know you can receive the right thing and use it for the wrong reason? She received a blessing, but she used it for the wrong reason. Let's go further. So she tries to use the blessing that God gave her to get the affection and attention from her husband. So here's what she's saying. And here's what a lot of us say. You put yourself here. Now my husband, now God bless me, now I got the job, or now I got the title, or now I got the girl, or now I got my sugar candy, of my Boaz. Now that the Lord's blessed me with all this, now they're gonna desire me. No, they won't. Watch this. Now, whatever that is with you, that seed of rejection, say seed of rejection, that desire that was planted that caused the injury or brokenness. That's where you finna still have your problems. So she wasn't what? Validated by her husband or her daddy. You see that? You see these young girls, they're not validated by their daddy. And so they go to chasing these low lives, I call them. They ain't got nothing, but I love him. Y'all see, can y'all track with me? She has the right thing, the blessing, but she used it for the wrong reason. Now, it says, verse 33, then she conceived again. Say again. Anybody here having agains in your life? You thank God for the second chance, third chance, 15th chance, 30th chance? And she bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Verse 34. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. So she keep repeating the same thing. Say, repeat. She was getting the blessing of God, getting the blessing from him, but she was getting it to try to get something out of somebody that only God could give her. That only God could give her. So she's got a what? An ungodly soul tie. Say, ungodly soul tie. Hallelujah. Therefore his name, this is finishing 34, therefore his name was called Levi. Now verse 35, and she conceived again, say again, and said, what happened there? She shifts. Say shift. Can y'all see the shift in that verse? You know what she did? And she conceived again and bore son and said, now I will praise who? I will praise who? Therefore she called his name. Then she stopped bearing. How many times did it take her to get it? Three. Now, we keeping up with how many times it took her. How many times did it take you? Or is it still taking time? You know what happened with Jacob and her daddy? They kept leaving her empty and unsatisfied. There's some things only God can fill the void. It's not going to be a person or a thing. Or a thing. So what's an idol? An idol is anything that you worship. It ain't some statue. It's anything that you worship, give your strength to, give your attention to, give your affection to as priority and precedence in your life over what you give to God. So a lot of us have made our husband and our boyfriend God over God. Amen, somebody. We say we love God and we put him first, but you know what? Your fruit and priorities prove otherwise. Uh-oh. See, a lot of folks talk, but let your actions speak louder than your words. Amen, somebody. So you can make someone or something a priority over God because of a need in your life. Say need. An unfulfilled need becomes very dangerous in your life. Did you hear what I said? A unfulfilled need becomes very dangerous in your life. They create places of vulnerability. Yeah. A need will make you do some desperate things. It starts out with you where you want to do it, and then it winds up where you need to do it. That's when it gets dangerous. Y'all follow me? The same thing works with a crack addict. I want to try this, and then it gets where you got to have it. I need this. So people can serve in some terms as a drug in your life. I got to have him. I got to have her. Really? So these things drive us into places that can derail our destiny. Derail your destiny. When God said, I know the plans I have for you. So why you want to seek it from somebody else when he said, I know? He didn't say, I guess. I know the plans that I have for you. So you're trying to impress that person, win their love and attention, more than you try to give your love and affection and attention to God. Who am I talking to? I know I'm talking to somebody. And you wonder why you end up being derailed and shipwrecked. Amen, somebody. Now, it's not wrong to have people in your life because God wants us to have covenant relationships with people. Good soul ties. When a person becomes priority over God, you enter into an ungodly soul tie. You put pressure on them to get something out of them that they aren't even capable of giving to you. They don't have it. They don't have the goods. It's an idol when you allow someone's opinion to determine your value. When you allow somebody else to determine your value, that's an idol. Their perception of you, we use their perception of us to validate who we are. Let the Word of God tell you who you are. He created you. We depended on them to be our source instead of God. We allow people, what we have, relationships, our friends, our boss, those kind of relationships, co-workers, to try to tell us who we are. They don't know you like God knows you. Amen. You're looking for them for the source of life rather than looking to who is the source of your life. Yes. I just said something there. Exodus 23 through 5. Here's what you'll find. You should have no other God before me. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I am a jealous God. Nothing above me or nothing over me. I'm number one. Seek ye first the, not second. So when you get entangled or enmeshed in a relationship, watch what happens when you get connected to the wrong people. Their ups become your ups and their downs become your downs. When the enemy wants to rob you of your destiny, his thing is to rob you of your spiritual identity. So you find the essence of who you are wrapped up into things. The car you drive, or the house you live in, or what you got in the bank. You are not what you went through. I just said something to somebody. You are not what you went through. And you are not what people say you are. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You can be who God says you can be. It's one thing I learned from my bishop. I'm preaching this thing off my head. That's all right. You're going to get the word. I learned something from him. I don't get caught up when people applaud. You don't allow that to get in you. But a lot of folks do for their validation. So the same folks, sometimes the same folks who are applauding for you will be the same ones who will crucify you and talk about you. So I don't get caught up in all that. I look at what he said. He gives me my validation. Oh, money. Amen. Why is that important that you don't get caught up in that? Because one day it's going to be empty. It'll be empty. Ain't nobody applauding. I said this to the worship team one time. When you get off the stage, is it the people out there applauding or is God applauding? You get your validation from him. Amen, somebody. So it's not that you can't have things, platforms, stages, plural, isn't it? Platforms, stages. Now I'm gonna go to singular. A husband, not husbands. A wife, not wives. Had to clarify that. But you can't have all the things above God. He has to be first. He has to be number one. Say number one. Now, let's talk about a soul tie. What is a soul tie? It's cleaving together. It's a relationship by two souls are joined, are knitted together. You married folks ought to finish that. Knitted together, in a sense, they become one. There are godly ties and there are ungodly soul ties. And we all need godly soul ties. Now, I love the scriptures. Watch this. A lot of us, when we read it, we run right over it. He said, if two of you, what that mean? Find another one of you. If two of you come together in my name. I just said something. Y'all, did it go over your head? If two of you, in other words, if he said, if two of you go find somebody just like you in your belief system, and you come together in my name touching anything. What's that? Covenant. That's covenant. In scripture, to cleave, it means to knit together, to be bound up, to cling, to adhere, to stick together. In essence, a soul tie is to be linked to another person by means of a soul tie. To cling or to be closely attached to that person as if to stuck or glued. Say glued to them and perhaps living devoted. Living devoted. Now there's a good way for this. When you hook up with someone, if they're part of your destiny, they won't leave you. If they're not a part of your destiny, they can't stay with you. Oh man, I'm running out of time. Can I go a little? I'm gonna try to wrap it up. Let's go to marriage. How many are married in here? Okay, I'm finna step on some toes. If it ain't you, don't look around and nobody won't know it's you. Some of you are lying in bed. Okay, you're lying in bed and you're making love to your spouse, but you're actually making love to somebody else. I'm gonna let that soak in. You're in the bed with your spouse. Let's just say it's a man, and you're in the bed with your wife, but you're actually making love to another woman. Why is that? I'm glued to somebody else emotionally. I did. You're glued to somebody else emotionally. And your physical wife is right there, but you're making love to somebody else. That's not right. So a soul tie is a mean by a person is brought into a relationship, become one. Now, when you have sex with a person, finna go deep on y'all. When you have, y'all don't mind, do you? We supposed to tell the truth, right? And the truth shall set you free. He that know the truth, and the truth shall. We're gonna tell the truth in here. Now, watch this. When you if you can transfer AIDS, don't you think you can download what's in your spirit? Don't you think you can download what's in your spirit? If you can transfer something physically? If you can transfer something physically, don't you think you can transfer something spiritually? Yeah. Soulically. So in a godly soul tie, it can be in the mind. We have a thing in our church y'all call the freedom class. Well, we talk about stuff like this. And a lot of times you venture through your life and you think you got it all together. We don't talk about stuff like this in the counseling sessions in the professional world, if you will. They won't allow each other, two people, to throw up on each other. We don't do that here. We put this as final authority and you line up with it. So you either, which side of it are you? Are you on the right side? Are you right in the middle of where? That's what we deal with here. The word of God is final authority. Amen, somebody. So the word tie is soulish. Tie, soulish. Mind, will, emotion, intellect. It is defined as to attach, to bind, to fasten. It's a bond of kinship, of affection, to unite in marriage. Cleave to one another. That's good things, right? Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And what's the wife's responsibility? The husband part is the, matter of fact, he didn't tell wives, he commanded the husband to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So what's the wife part? Submit yourself unto your, watch this. If your husband is loving you like Christ loved the church, if you got any sense at all, you ain't got no problem submitting to him. I ain't mean to say that in a derogatory way, but it's just the plain truth. So to attach, talking about tie, right? To attach, to bind, to fasten, it's a bond of kinship, okay? What's the other meaning? What's the other connotation of tie? Here it is. To restrain from an independent or freedom of action or choice, to constrain or if by authority, influence, agreement, or obligation. What am I saying? If you got an authority figure, let's say, let's make this clear. Who's the head of the house? Say it now. I ain't hear no men say anything. Men, who's the head of the house? And you are supposed to be the priest of your house. So let's understand, the man is the, come on y'all, talk to me. The man is the, see you guys acting like they're scared to talk. The man is the head of the house. Long as he's priest. But you shouldn't misuse your authority and bring dictatorship and manipulation and divination to your house. Amen. If that husband's soul is not completely surrendered to God, there's going to be some problems. He can operate through those things. Manipulation, dictatorship, divination. He can operate through all those things if he's not completely surrendered. His soul is not completely surrendered to God. Anybody see that? That's an ungodly soul tie when he operates that way. It's an ungodly soul tie. Why do soul ties exist? Because God wanted us to have godly bonds. To have a healthy place of nurturing. That's why he wanted it. So love can flow two ways. Well, I can be safe and secure. That's what normally our wives. I can be safe and secure with you. I can love. And you also can call it a place of exchange. I'm free to be me. Watch this now. I'm free to be me. You're free to be you. Right? But we are together, we are us. Together we are us. What you call that? Independence and interdependence. Y'all see that? You know, now don't get it messed up. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. That means it was not good for man to be without God in his life. Okay? That's what that meant. So I'm good alone and I'm whole alone. You're good alone and you are good. You're whole alone, right? But we're better together. We got a small group for couples called Better Together. How many is a part of that group? Isn't it a great group? That's where we talk about stuff just like this. Come join us. That's God's way. There's a mutual benefit that takes us both to a better place. While God intends for mutual benefit and blessings, the enemy always comes with a counterfeit. Say counterfeit. To corrupt and prevent what God has designed as pure in order to steer those bound together by his yoke into a greater place of darkness and disorder. That's his mission. Darkness and disorder. Now, all humans' souls ties must be counterbalanced by a greater love for Jesus. What did I say? A greater love for who? A greater love for who? Don't date somebody who loves you more than they love God. Watch this. They say we fell in love. No, you fell into lust. And it says what God has joined together. You can't say God joined that together. Lust joined y'all together. Uh-oh. Let me move on. If the person that you yoke yourself with doesn't have a greater love for God, you can't resolve conflict. Did you hear me? You cannot resolve conflict. You can't change them, although a lot of people try. If you don't have a, if they don't have a relationship with God and love God more than they love you, you're almost in a hopeless situation. Amen. But if they love God, you might be going through it. Y'all may be going at it, having fights and stuff. But if both of you love God more than you love each other, then you can go to him and he'll go to them. Did y'all see that? That's why it's important that you be equally yoked together. How can two walk together unless they agree? So here you got a person who loves God and one who don't. You in trouble because there's no way to resolve conflict. They don't believe that the word of God is final authority. Man, this thing been eating me up to get it out. And I'm getting it out today. It's essential that we understand this. The Bible says, in all your getting, get understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your pathway. Don't you want to be directing the right pathway? Well, quit hooking up with these devils. Don't bother me today. Now watch this. When you get those two people loving God more than they love each other, you know what God can do? He can course correct. I've been doing this for 30 years, but now I hear from you. Now I can get back on track and go the right way. Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our love for Jesus should be much more than for a natural person. It should be for much more for God than for a natural person. You know what love is? It ain't always a feeling. It's a decision. I will love the Lord my God with all my soul, with all my mind, and I will love my neighbor as myself. And then John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. And by this would they know that you are my disciple. That's a witness. Amen. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You want to see what your love is? Check your checkbook. To avoid loving people above God, to love God above your job, love God the most, and everything else will fall in place. Did y'all see that? So I got a question for you. What's your alabaster box? The woman who had the alabaster box with perfume, she brought it to Jesus and washed his feet with it. What's yours that you're willing to give up? But I don't, you know what I said earlier in the beginning of the sermon? There's some things we don't want to let go. What's your alabaster box that you're willing to give up? in order to get God's best. Okay, let me wrap this up. So there come a time where you have to sever things. You have to cut them off. And you have to cut people off. Okay? And so you have to get things in the right order. Say right order. Even in the church, he said, let everything be done decent and in order. So it has to be in order, right? Okay, so you got to confront your Jacob. Isn't that what Leah did? She said, I'm gonna praise now. You got to confront your Jacob. You can't conquer what you don't confront. You cannot conquer what you don't confront. And you don't confront what you can't identify. And you can't sever what you can't see. So some of us don't even see. So it's still lagging along. Remember, I used the word, it works as a force in our life. It's there because we hadn't dealt with it. We don't even see it. Uh-oh. Watch this. So why do I keep creating these six cycles in my life? Why I keep going over, around, and around, and around with it? Why is that? Let's go back to Leah. Wherever you've been wounded, injured, or you've been vulnerable in your soul, it creates an empty place for the enemy to create an ungodly soul tie. You see the kids who've been in gangs? They've been injured somewhere in their childhood. And it opens up a door. Remember Bishop teaching us about an open door? Everywhere where there's an open door, there's an adversary, the enemy. He's waiting on an opportunity. Y'all seeing this? Man, I looked at this thing. It's strategic in how God gave our bishop downloads and laid it out for us. And we won't even listen to it. He said, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, that you can live a life that's pleasing unto me. And the only way you're going to know it is know his word. I'm tired of seeing the enemy wreck people's lives. So we end up keep coming up empty. In your soul, somewhere there's an open door. You know what? We love God, we're going to heaven. But you'll live a defeated life on this earth if you don't get some things, you don't confront some things and get it right. Amen, somebody. So Jacob the deceiver doesn't value Leah, and Laban the greater deceiver doesn't value her either. There is no validation. Leah was trying to fix in her adulthood. Watch this now. This is what a lot of us do. Leah was trying to fix in her adulthood what was broken in her childhood. Did y'all hear what I just said? And you wonder why we go around in circles. Because we spending all our time trying to fix in our adulthood what was broken in our childhood. We are a what? Spirit, we are spirit beings, right? But you also have a human experience. Did you hear what I just said? I just said something. We are a human spirit, but we have human experience. Don't reverse it. We are human beings having a spiritual experience. No, you are a spirit being having human experience. Amen, somebody. I believe in psychology. I believe in counseling. I need you to listen to me real good. How many believe in psychology and counseling? I do. Watch this. But they can't take you beyond time and space. I just said something. They cannot take you between time and space. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Some things are so deeply embedded in us, we don't even know where it happened at. So how can you confront it? How can you identify it? And how can you conquer it if you don't know what it is? Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Closing. Relationships are meant to complement us. There's my godly soul tie right there. She's pretty. She's pleasant. She's pretty inside out. I get something for that later. Watch this. Don't lose what I'm saying. I'm going to use every opportunity I can to get brownie points. Believe me. But relationships are meant to complement, not to complete. Only God can complete you. Until we're ready to lay the axe to the root, it'll still follow you. Band-aids won't do it. You will never get deliverance until you put an axe to the root. But the Spirit of God can bring the balm of Gilead and bring deliverance. Ladies, a man can't be your God. Men, a woman can't be your God. Only God can be God. Can you stand to your feet? I didn't see a stopping point until I got all that out. Was it beneficial to anyone? Did you see anything? Watch this. Did you see what you need to confront? What you need to identify and what you need to conquer? What did we start off saying? He ain't done with me yet. But I present myself as a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is his reasonable service. And be not conformed to this, but be ye by the, that I may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Can you give out a hand clap? You may be here this morning, and you may have went through some of these things that I talked about. You're in ungodly relationships. You married to somebody who don't love God more than they love you. And I kind of sort of solicit to you earlier about the freedom class. We don't use psychology. We use the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost come in. And he can do things that we don't even see. He'll do a work in you. Say, a work in me. How many of us need God? Here's what he told us. He said, watch this. Lean not to your own understanding. Remember, Samson did that. And what did it cost him? Lean not to your own understanding, but in all, say all, not some, in all your ways, acknowledge him. What's the promise? He'll direct your pathway. And he will never direct you the wrong way. Every head bow, every eye close. You may be here and you don't know Jesus. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus is here. Holy Ghost is here. And so if you feel convicted in your heart this morning and you know you're not in the place that you should be and you want Jesus to help you and the Holy Spirit to help you, he said, I will guide and lead you into all truth. Let me see your hand. Thank you for the 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 hand. Yeah, you know, he wants to do it. And what Jesus did for us, it wasn't convenient. But because of his love for you, you remember how we started off? It's my love. You may say, Pastor, I'm married, and my spouse don't love you more than he loved me. Or she don't love you more than she loved me. And I need you to show me how to pray for them, how to live my life before them, as you instructed us in your word, how to win them over. If that be you, let me see your hand. Thank you for that 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 hand. Yeah. Yeah. You may say, Pastor, I have a girlfriend or I have a boyfriend, and I know it's not a godly tie. I need help in detaching and attaching to what you want me to be attached to. Let me see your hand, if that be you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. All hands down. The first step is the one who can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you dare ask or think, according to the power or the potential that worketh within you. So his name is Jesus. So first and foremost, we need him in our lives. And so what we're going to do, we're going to pray a prayer together. And it's not so much as you hearing me, but hearing yourself say these words. And when he come into your life, you know what his promise is? And you start speaking his word over your life, your husband's life, your wife's life, your girlfriend's life, your boyfriend's life. You know what he said? He said, I hasten to my word to perform it. I will hasten to my word to perform it. And my word will not return unto me void, for it will accomplish what I set it out to do. So if you will, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. You shed blood on the cross to pay for my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Make my life new. I thank you. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I promise to serve you, praise you. Satan, I denounce you from my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for the family of God. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening. And I'm like, Bishop, you know, when you put in hours of study and we have a 20, 30, 35 minute sermon, you're not going to get it all in it. I encourage you to go back and listen to all the messages that's been laid out. You can watch it. You can listen. Get the word in your heart. Get it in there. Get it in there. But it's something you got to do to get it in there. It's just not going to fall on you. Right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, thank you for your time. I hope it blesses you. God bless you.